magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017. It's Thanksgiving Eve. For those of you that just can't wait for that carved turkey, mashed potatoes and gravy, cranberry sauce, and all those special fixins and family gathered together around the table to give thanks to God. I pray that's true for all of you. And as was mentioned on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, if for whatever reason you're not joining with family, invite a friend over or a neighbor or an international student. Or call up some friends in case you can't make all those arrangements at home and pick a fun restaurant and make some time to fellowship with others. Well, if you were tuned in for yesterday, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, you heard a lot of fellowship going on in the air. As recently, Pastor Jason Schiffo and I had a conversation with Andrew Peterson. He's a singer, songwriter, author, and he's coming to our area on December 9th. He'll be presenting his Behold the Lamb of God tour at the Virginia Theater. You can purchase tickets at thevirginia.org. That's thevirginia.org. And I featured two of his songs yesterday, and I'll feature two more today, along with the remainder of about a 30-minute conversation Pastor Jason Schiffo and I had recently, as he talks about the tour, the making of the CD, what he hopes gets accomplished during the concert, and the blessing that's in store for you if you attend. Now, also on December 9th, at noon, so let's make a date of it, head out to the Danville Mall as the Singing Men of GNN will be putting on a free concert. So that'll be at noon in Danville at the mall, and then carve out your evening for Andrew Peterson, and I think he has 10 or 11 others that'll join him on stage for this Behold the Lamb of God Christmas concert. Well, as was mentioned yesterday, Andrew Peterson presents the Christmas story through the biblical narrative, both Old and New Testament, telling the story of Christ coming. And so I'll share a portion of this fun song called So Long, Moses, as that lays some of the groundwork for the coming of Christ. Here's Andrew Peterson, So Long, Moses.
We all remember Moses on the banks of the river. Said, Pharaoh, you've got to let my people go. You don't want me to have to tell you this 10 times over. Denial ain't just a river, you know. So we all remember Pharaoh, he just wouldn't do it. The plagues came upon Egypt one by one. His heart was hard and the other 9 just couldn't move it. So the last was the worst, the death of the firstborn sons. Oh, but the Lord, he gave to Moses a word for the people. He said their firstborn sons would live to see another day.
Thought I'd play a little of that song, So Long Moses, by Andrew Peterson. He's coming to the Virginia Theater on Saturday, December 9th, and you can purchase tickets at the Virginia Theater website, thevirginia.org, thevirginia.org. Here's right where we left off on yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, as we had about a 30-minute conversation with Andrew Peterson, and you'll note at the end of the program, he took our call in the parking lot of the hospital where his son was having surgery. And he needed to close out the conversation to run in as his wife was calling them and say, get in here. But we'll pick up right where we left off yesterday as my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo, begins with a question.
There's a quote that I heard you say recently when I was listening to an interview, and it really plays in this. I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about why you think stories are so important. The quote that I wrote down was, if you want someone to know the truth, tell them. But if you want someone to love the truth, tell them a story.
Yeah, isn't that a great quote? I wish I had come up with that. I don't remember where I heard it, but as soon as I heard it, I was like, yes, that's how I grew up. Like as a pastor's kid, I remember my dad, you know, a lot of his sermons would be exegesis, and he would kind of pick apart a scripture and teach us about, you know, what was inside, unpacking it. Now, and that was interesting enough, but then whenever he would stop and say, let me tell you about something that happened this week at the feed store. then you could feel the air in the room change, you know?
Yeah.
As soon as there's, like, it's what Rich Mullins was so good at, was taking these big, lofty ideas, big, beautiful truths that kind of float up in the atmosphere, and then all of a sudden you anchor them in a story and they touch the earth. It's like in the incarnation of Jesus. It's like you've got God, who is incomprehensible, becoming flesh and looking us in the eye and walking among us. And that's what stories do. It takes these inexpressible ideas or hunches that we have about the truth of the universe, and all of a sudden we put them in time and we give them a beginning, a middle, and an end, and we understand those things in a way that we couldn't have otherwise. So, I think that stories are the language that God wired our hearts to speak. And it's like that's the way that God decided to express the glory of his love to humanity, was through a story. And in one sense, the story isn't over yet. Like, we're kind of in the middle of it and we're looking for the end of it. But in another sense, he's told us the ending of the story. In another sense, like, every one of our lives is a story. Scripture itself is a story. Like, it's just, it's the DNA of the universe itself seems to be that. And the storyteller, like I said, the main character of that story is the Messiah himself, you know? And so, I don't know, I've always been drawn to it. And as a kid who grew up loving, like, Indiana Jones and Goonies and reading the Hardy Boys, like, all of those things, like, I really believe that the Lord whispers to us through whatever he wants. And, you know, there's a reason that the movie industry is this multi-billion-dollar thing, is because people were just made to want stories. So the idea that God would invade or ambush us through stories is something that kind of caught my imagination. So I'm always on the hunt for it, you know, always looking for it. When I read books or watch movies, it's like I'm looking for the moment when there's going to be that little flash of, ah, there's the presence of God. Ooh, there's a picture of the truth that I couldn't have understood any other way.
Do you think that the nature of stories, and even when I listen to your music, I hear you telling stories. Do you feel like maybe that's a little harder to do than to say just put out the, you know, the 56 hallelujah choruses that seems to make up a lot of what today's music is?
Well, I think they serve a different purpose. There are songs that are just like some of the great hymns. Most hymns do actually have a structure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Each verse kind of serves a purpose and moves you toward the resurrection or the second coming, whatever it may be. And so there is that, but there's also nothing, it's really hard to write a praise chorus. Like, a good song that does have the hallelujahs in it is like a very difficult thing. So I don't want to like discount that. But at the same time, I think that culturally we're starved for stories, and that there are certain songs that show up in like the worship kind of world that do that, that actually carry you through a narrative. And I think that it's so profoundly moving. So many times on radio, no offense, radio is fine, but people are surfing the web, and there's not the web, they're channel surfing, and they stop on a song. They don't really have time to follow like the narrative arc of the song unless they kind of live with it, you know? So I just think it's important to remember that songs can do that too, you know? Songs can be more than just something poppy. It can actually, I've seen a song change a person in 3 minutes, you know? Mm.
And so is that scary to do? Because this is what I would say, is that, you know, listening to your music and introducing people to your music, that's one of the first things that I hear is people say to me, this feels so honest. I mean, I have my secretary who's in her 60s. Yesterday I said, you should listen to this. We were dancing in the minefield. And she got to the chorus and she said, oh, that is so true. She said, it's harder than I ever thought it was going to be being married for 40 years, but I have to hang on the promises. And she goes, this is so honest. And another person said to me, they go, these lyrics are almost kind of scary because there's an honesty to them that, I mean, if you actually listen to them and you get into that honest space, you're almost like, wait a second, I'm being invited into something that is more than just a verse, chorus, verse.
Yeah. And I think that the precedent is set in the Psalms. It doesn't get any more gut-wrenching and honest than the Psalms. And you know, they're not all... I think, you know, the Psalms of praise mean more to me because I know the psalmist has also suffered and has been honest about their suffering. And so I remember there was a beautiful video that just came out with Bono from U2 sitting down and talking with Eugene Peterson, who's an old author, pastor, and they're talking about the Psalms. And Bono makes this kind of, you know, very understandable offhand comment about how I wish that there were Christian artists out there writing songs that were as honest as David wrote. Because that's what I think the world wants to see, the truth, you know, and like wants us to not put a veneer on things. And I remember when he said that, my first thought was, yes, that's true. And then my second thought was, wait, there are lots of artists that are doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, There are tons of art. They just don't tend to be the artists that the masses want to hear on the radio because it costs you something, you know, to listen to a song that is about the desolation you feel when you're afraid God has abandoned you, like Psalm 22. And so I don't know. I just I'm an advocate for the people out there who are courageous enough to tell that story because I need that story.
Yeah, I think Jason and I, we had this conversation a year or two back where there weren't many songs that had laments in it. Michael Card came up with one that I loved, but everything was praise and worship and warm mm-hmm. fuzzies and not some that really you had to struggle through or your emotions were mm-hmm. grabbed you because it's like, wow, this is a cry out to God.
Yeah, I think we're missing something. Like, I'm sure that there's some of your listeners out there who have felt this feeling. I know I have when I have felt like my life is a mess and I'm in a great deal of pain and I don't feel like I fit in, you know, and I'm going to go to church and it's going to be all happy and I'm going to feel guilty because it's not happy music, you know. But Scripture has given us, once again, a precedent for corporate lament, you know, like I want to lament with the people in Texas. I want to go to church on Sunday and I want to cry out to God and say, why? Why did this happen? Jesus did it. You know what I mean? Like he said, why have you forsaken me? If you read Psalm 22, it is just barren and painful and desolate. And so, like, I wish sometimes that church, every service gave room for us to acknowledge the fact that at least someone in that audience is dealing with deep doubt or deep pain, deep loneliness. So let's sing together about the fact that the whole spectrum of human experience has been sanctified by the person of Christ. Hmm. He knows every temptation we've ever felt. He is familiar with our suffering. He was a man of sorrows. But he was also, I'm sure, a man of joy, you know? So I feel like we're missing something when our corporate worship doesn't make room for the sadness as well as the joy.
Mm. So I totally agree with you. I think that there's a whole, like, we need the Christian blues, you know, where we can just kind of say, you know what, okay, this is the way it is for a lot of us. And I think that you're doing that on a certain level. I really want to ask you about this. I told my wife, I said, if I get a chance to talk to him about something, I have to talk to him about this because you ambushed me. You really ambushed me. So there was a song that a friend of mine a long while back said, you got to listen. It's such a sweet song. It was Be Kind to Yourself. And you had the video, and the video was sweet. He said, look, I think these are his kids. Look, it's just great. And I listened to it, and I thought, wow, this is really great. And then somebody said, you don't get it. And they sent me the video of you introducing the song. And I don't know where that was at or exactly, but you had introduced the song, and it was, you know, the song I think you played for just a few minutes, but the introduction was like 7 minutes long. And I was really, you ambushed. I cannot listen to the song now without getting emotional because now I know what it's about. And so could you maybe explain to us a little bit about how you arrived at that and what it's about? Because at first, it just sounds like, well, I just need to be kinder to myself.
Well, I think that if you're a person who struggles with self-loathing or self-reproach, I have like a well-rehearsed list of things that I don't really like about me, you know, and probably my biggest spiritual struggle, or one of the most central spiritual struggles in my life is the struggle to believe that God actually does love me the way Scripture tells me he does. Because I know myself, I look in the mirror some days and I'm just like, I just don't like that guy. Because what I see is the knucklehead, the screw up, the guy who has no business ever being on the stage, all of this kind of stuff. So I feel like if you know what that feels like, then the song would kind of zing you a little bit. Because sorry to beat around the bush, but I wrote it for my daughter. She's 15 years old, and she's like a little girl version of me. She is she's a songwriter. She's a talented musician and is very tenderhearted. When she feels something, she feels it really deeply. And when she was 12, 13, which is a really hard time age to be a girl, I began seeing some of the patterns that I've struggled with my whole life, some of that self-loathing, that self-hatred. And I just wanted to throw myself in front of the train to stop it. Like, how do I stop her from wrestling with the same thing that I've carried for so many years? And so that song was my attempt to do that.
Mm. Well, I think you did a beautiful job. I mean, just the idea of be kind to yourself. And you know what? I've noticed a stream in a lot of your music. I want to bring it back to Behold the Lamb of God because you're going to be coming on December 9th. And we're really excited and really trying to let all our friends know you've got to come hear Andrew Peterson when he comes and he brings this music to us.
Virginia Theater, yep. thevirginia.org. Purchase multiple tickets for your friends and family, yeah. thevirginia.org. org, December 9th. It's a Saturday night right here in Champaign, Illinois.
What my wife was really kind of taken by the album. It's a family album. I mean, as we listen to it, she goes, oh, my God, Matthew's Begats and even So Long, Moses. She goes, the kids love these songs. I mean, so what is it that allows you to kind of hit that? Because it's so funny, my 8-year-old and my 12-year-old, they're walking around and they're going, you know, they're talking about how Saul was foolish and strong and he didn't last long. And they love that verse. They really love that verse. In fact, my son took it out at Sunday school a few weeks ago, and his teacher thought he was kind of wise that he was able to say that. But what allows you to hit that kind of music, but then in the same way, I mean, you've got some music on there that is very, very, I mean, it's deep.
I don't know. I'm really happy to know the kids like the songs. Part of that is because I think kids get stories better than grown-ups do sometimes. Like, I'm an author, too, and so I've written a book series called The Wingfeather Saga, and when I go to school to do readings or whatever, I'm always, like, super impressed by how sharp the kids are. Like, I feel like the older we get, we lose the ability to think narratively as well as kids do. And I guess that's part of it, is that they understand that they're being told a story, you know? That's my hope. But, you know, Matthew's Begats is obviously supposed to be a little bit of comic relief in the middle of a pretty serious narrative. I don't know. I think that's just how music works.
Yeah, I didn't know if maybe there's, you know, because a lot of the interviews I've heard with you, you know, you talk about, you know, sometimes I think too deeply. Sometimes I'm really thinking a lot. But then my wife pointed out, she goes, he's very melancholy.
Mm-hmm. well, hopefully not all the time. I mean, I do tend to go there. I think a lot of artists do thrive on that. But that's another reason why I really love singing the Behold the Lamb of God songs, is because they're, you know, you have to go through the yearning of the Old Testament songs, and then the turn happens at Matthew's Begats, and then you're at the joy of the incarnation of Jesus. And from there on out, it's all celebration.
In case you're just tuned in, we have Andrew Peterson. He's coming to town. He's an author, artist, musician. You're going to have to tell us how our listeners can get a hold of some of these CDs and the books that you've written. But you're coming to town on December 9th. It's a Saturday night, to the Virginia Theater, featuring songs in your, is it, what would you say, your album or your series or your overview of the Bible or of your Christmas special called Behold the Lamb of God?
I usually call it a song cycle that tells the story of the coming of Christ.
Okay.
And so, but it's also just a concert, you know. It's not going to be super stuffy. Like, one of our goals with this thing was to make it so that if you knew somebody who didn't know the Christmas story, somebody who wasn't a Christian at all, you could bring them, and hopefully the music is going to be enjoyable enough as it is, you know, because the players are just so, so great. But then, apart from that, like, our goal would be to, like, surprise even Christians with the wonder of the story, because we can forget, you know.
Will you be bringing other musicians? Who's going to join you on December 9th at the Virginia Theater in Champaign here?
Well, in addition to a crazy good band, you know, with a
now,
lot of
now is that their name, the Crazy Good Band?
The Crazy Good Band.
Oh, yeah, that is their name.
No, they're, you know, there's hammer dulcimer and cello and electric guitars and the whole deal. Like, it's a lot of fun instrumentation. But the artists that are on the tour are Jill Phillips, Andy Gullihorn, myself, a guy named Scott Mulvihill, who's this incredible, incredible singer-songwriter and bass player. And so it's this community of writers. We've all known each other for many years. And there's 11 people on the stage at any given time.
Mm-hmm. And so one last question, Andrew. When you take this out and you begin to do these shows, what's the difference between the Andrew Peterson 18 years ago who wrote this album and the one today in terms of how you look at it?
Wow, that's a good question. I'm a lot less headstrong. I'm a lot less sure of myself. I'm a lot less, I'm a lot more suspicious of my, how do I put it? I guess I would just say that God is more amazing to me. Like, I know myself. I know the sins behind the sins in a way that I didn't know when I was a younger man. And so that means I also know the grace behind the grace behind the grace in the love of God that I didn't know then.
We know we want to be sensitive because your commitment to the 30 minutes. Do you want to introduce a few songs or just say a few things? And I might edit into the program. Our conversation continued, but let me play one of the songs that was mentioned or referenced. Do you want to recommend a few songs that could be put into this interview?
I would love to do that, but my son is in surgery right now, and I am outside of the hospital, and my wife is in the waiting room.
Okay.
And so I really, really have to go. But I'm sure, Jason, Mark, you guys could probably pick a couple that would be good.
Okay, why don't we do that? Okay, so let's just close out. Well, thank you, Andrew, for being available, and we look forward to seeing you at the Virginia Theater on December 9th. It's a Saturday night, and you can purchase tickets at thevirginia.org, thevirginia.org. We wish you the best, and thank you for carving out this time for Jason and I on today's edition of Mark and Friends.
I am so grateful. I can't wait to see you guys.
Great. That sounds great. Hey, Andrew, is your son okay? Is there any way we can pray for him?
It's minor surgery. He's getting his deviated septum. I don't know if you guys know that. But yeah, my wife has called like 3 times while I was on the phone with you guys, so I really have to go.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you guys. We'll see you next month.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. All right. Bye.
Well, that's how our interview concluded as recently recorded. Well, that was singer, songwriter, musician Andrew Peterson. He's coming to the Virginia Theater on Saturday, December 9th with his Behold the Lamb of God tour. As you heard, he was in the parking lot of the hospital where his son was having surgery, and so he was pressed on time for the interview. But I'll close out with another selection, familiar to you all, O Come, Emmanuel. And this, along with the earlier song and the 2 songs played yesterday, will all be a part of the Behold the Lamb of God Christmas concert you'll be putting on at the Virginia Theater on Saturday, December 9th. So get your tickets at thevirginia.org. That's thevirginia.org. Or stop by the Virginia Theater. And I trust you'll really enjoy that evening concert. Well, here's a portion of an instrumental rendering of O Come, Emmanuel by Andrew Peterson. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and happy Thanksgiving.